Boker Tov world. Today's daf from Masechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Ches, and we're holding right there at the top. We're in the middle of the discussion of Rabbi Yosef. Remember that we have a machlokes whether you need to actually know the value of the shavah kesef that you're using. So that was called the question of whether it requires shuma or not. So we had the machlokas between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef held that before you give something as Shavah Kesef for Kedushin, before it needs to be known what the value is. Because afterwards, even if it turns out to be Shavah Pruta, the woman was not being Semer Da'ata. Others learn that even when the man said to her, don't worry about what it's worth, accept it for whatever it's worth, even there's a machlokas. Because Rabbi Yosef, according to that approach, was saying that it's an innate halacha in Shavah Kesef, that Shavah Kesef has to have a defined value, and otherwise it cannot be used as kesef. Now, he did not explain yesterday where he gets such an idea from, that there should be something about the nature of Shavah Kesef. I mean, I understood the first approach, where it's obviously going to be dependent on whether a woman feels confident or not. But then if he would have said, well, how about if you accept it for whatever it's worth, that it should be fine. But here he's saying that it's an actual din. Where does that come from? That's what we got up to. And today, Rabbi Yosef wants to present the mocker, Omer of Yosef. You know, how do I know that there needs to be a shuma, that it has to be kitz, it has to be defined? The Tanya. Because remember, when the Torah talks about the sugya at the end of Vayikra, of buying back an Eved Ivri from a goy who had purchased him. So it says over there, im od rabot bashanim, lefihem yashiv geulato mikesev miknato. So whatever the number of years are, that we need to wait until he would go out free anyway, be Yovel. So you prorate those years to buy him back. Mikesev miknato. Now the question is, why in the world does it have to say the word yashiv? I mean, obviously, it should be just saying lefihem mikesev miknato, and that means you would be able to buy him back prorated. But that comes to tell me, so the first part of the pasuk mikesev miknato comes to tell me you need to use cash, which can't be true, but we'll see in a moment. But that's what it sounds like. Mikesev unikne, kesev miknato means you can only buy an Eved Ivri with cash, but you can't buy him with tfuah or kelim, and you have to have an actual coin. Now, says Rabbi Yosef, explain to me what you think that means. When it says you can't use any type of grain or you can't use any type of kelim, what do you mean? What, you can't use something that's worth money to buy an Eved Ivri? You have to literally use cash? But that cannot be true. Because at the end of the pasuk, it says, and the Braita brings it out, that yashiv geulato, and yashiv geulato, that extra word of yashiv, that comes to tell me anything, whatever you give back, meaning as long as it's worth money, which means l'rabot shava kesef kekesef. So then if you're going to tell me that you have shava kesef kekesef to buy him back with, and that means that that's the way he was purchased, right? So then what did you mean when you said, no, you can only use cash, you cannot use kesef kelim? So, I mean, what are you going to think that that means? You cannot use kesef kelim that isn't worth a pruta? Obviously, you can't use kesef kelim, tvuah kelim, that's not worth money. I mean, even if you would use cash, you couldn't use cash that isn't worth a shava pruta. So then why the heck does it say you can't use tvuah v'kelim? Ah, it's got to be talking about that it's worth a shava pruta. So make up your mind. Is it yashiv l'rabot shava kesef? And you can use anything that's worth money, even a Richie's pizza? Or does it mean that it's got to be cash? I don't get it. Must be, here's my proof, said Rabbi Yosef. It must be that in the first part where it said you need to use dafka cash, and you can't use a Ritchie's Pizza. That's talking about where it wasn't evaluated. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of different ingredients in Ritchie's Pizza. Some people claimed for years that there was a lot of illegal ingredients in Ritchie's Pizza, which made it a very popular kind of location in the 60s, let me tell you. But, so anyway, since you needed to evaluate what that pizza was worth, okay, so then that's the reason that you can't use it. But if you know what it's worth, so then you would be able to use it. So you see, said Rabbi Yosef, there's no other way to explain the Braita. So Yashiv L'Rava's Ritchie's Pizza is where it was already checked out and evaluated. But Kesef, needs to be Kesef and not the Ritchie's Pizza, is where, in fact, it wasn't evaluated before. Right? This is a pretty good proof. So what's Rabba going to have to say about this, V'ida? What would Rabba answer? Rabba would say you've got this totally mixed up. It doesn't mean kesev versus tvua v'kelim. It means the type of kinyan that is a kinyan kesev versus the type of kinyan that is tvua v'kelim. What is that type of kinyan? There's a special type of kinyan. Yes, it's called chalifin, right? Now that's what it means when you're exchanging things. So that means tvua v'kelim. I'll give you here. Take this handkerchief. That's a kli. And in exchange for that handkerchief, so now you're able to be kain as something. That you cannot use to buy an eved ivri. Oh, okay. Fair enough. But you can use kesev. But kesev includes shava kesev. It's a reference to a type of kinyan, not to a type of object. So you completely misunderstood it, says Rabba to Rabbi Yosef. So betorat kesev u'nikneh v'inu nikneh betorat tvua v'kelim. Meaning what? U'mayniu chalifin. And what are you going to say, Rabba dear, according to Rabbi Nachman, who holds that you cannot even use peirot, and therefore tvua, you cannot use it for chalifin at all. And what are you going to call? You're going to call chalifin Torah something that you can't use for chalifin? That's ridiculous. The issue over here, by the way, is how to read the pasuk in Megillat Rut. Because remember that the source of the concept of chalifin comes from the Zot Lefanim b'Yisrael, ala ge'ula v'ala tmura, l'kayem kol davar, shalaf ish na'alo v'natan l're'ehu. So l'kayem kol davar is taken to mean to be kone anything at all. Fine, so Reb Nachman says that's correct, but it doesn't say that you can use anything at all to be kone anything at all. Masha'in kein, the Chachamim hold, l'kayem kol davar is both, l'kayem b'chol davar, you don't have to use your shoe, you could use anything, including tvua v'kelim. Fine, so if that's the case, we understand that machloket, but now that would mean that according to Reb Nachman, there is no way that you could possibly refer to chalifin as the type of thing that you can use tvua v'kelim for, because you can't. Now what are you going to say? Okay. I'm ready to accept that this would work out, even according to Rabbi Yosef. But you know what? I disagree with the way that Rabbi Yosef proves it. Because Rabbi Yosef said, well, I mean, obviously, it had to be worth the Shavah Pruta. Because it wasn't worth the Shavah Pruta, you couldn't even use Kesef. On the contrary, if it wasn't worth the Shavah Pruta, I know you can't use Kesef. The Chiddush over here is that if it's not worth a Shavah Pruta, you cannot even use Tvua V'kelim. What? Yes. Because look, I would have thought like this. You're giving a guy a cookie, okay? Or in this case, you want to give the girl a cookie. Whatever. But a cookie is a specific thing that you get hana'ah from. A kesev is something that is a theoretical thing. It's a value. Now you're going to have to turn that value in an additional step into something that you get hanah from. I mean, would you not have thought that when you're actually directly benefiting from eating this cookie, that then you don't think of it in terms of value? Does it necessarily have a value of a Shavah Pruta? On the contrary, I would have thought that if you're using Tvua V'kelim, or you're giving her a pin, Okay, so the pin is very useful right now. She needs to pin up her blouse, or she pins up her blouse. So you're going to start questioning whether it's worth a shavapruta? It's a direct pleasure. Kamashmalan, even so, it needs to have the value of a shavapruta, but doesn't mean that it needs to be estimated in advance. So I still disagree with Rabbi Yosef. Let's see that inside. So what Rabbi says, and as far as your question is, well, then why bother mentioning it? My iron's full of akalium. Even if it were actual cash, it would need to be worth a shavapruta. No. On the contrary, the Braita is saying that for sure money, everybody knows you need a shavapruta, but I want to tell you a chiddush. It's for sure true. When it comes to money, you need to have a shavapruta, and if it doesn't have a shavapruta, you can't use it. Of course, he's paying, let's play low. But I would have thought that tvua bekelim, I might have thought to myself, you know what? Since you have immediate hana from it, you don't have to translate the value. So then I relate to it not in terms of value. I relate to it as something valuable because of its hana. So gomaru makne nafshe. So in this case, the Eved Ivri, he'll be makne himself for that. Gomash malanda. Nonetheless, it needs to be worth a pruta, and otherwise, it's not considered to be kesef at all. That has nothing to do with making sure how much Richie's pizza is worth. Okay, says Rabbi Yosef, I'll bring you another raya. All right, this one you're not going to be able to show me I'm wrong. Rabbi Yosef, I'll tell you from here. I'll bring you another source. The Tanya, a guy goes over to a Kohen, and he says, listen, I don't have any cash, but why don't you take this calf for my son? So what would you like better, the calf or your son, as the Kohen will tell? Okay, all of these calves, they're very nogea, the sons. That was the whole issue of the Avodah Sa'ega. Talit zelet pidyon b'ni. Or how about taking this talis? Lorma klum, that's ridiculous. But if he says to the Kohen, take this egel as 5 sloyim, or take this talit as 5 sloyim, for my opinion, Aben, then it's fine. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Says Rabbi Yosef, here's my proof. What are we talking about when you say you can't give him a egel or a talit and say, take this? Well, is it worth 5 sloyim or is it not worth sloyim? So, if it's not worth 5 sloyim, so how does that change by saying, but accept it as the equivalent of 5 sloyim? What do you mean accept it as? It isn't 5 sloyim. Well, this is not imaginary. The Torah says you have to give 5 sloyim. So, kol kamine, what? So the father is going to give now a papal dispensation. This is fish. It just looks like meat. Get out of here. El alav. So what it must be saying is that if you give the egel and the talis, even though it's worth 5 sloyim, the problem is that it hasn't been defined by a professional appraisal that it's worth 5 sloyim, which is exactly what I'm telling you. I don't give a hang if it's worth $1 million. It isn't called the equivalent of kesef unless it has a defined value. That's the issue. And that's what it's saying. If you bring him this egel and you say, accept this for your 5 sloyim, it's meaningless because even though obviously it's worth more than 5 sloyim, but it's not called shavah kesef kekesef. If the moment that it becomes appraised and then it is defined as worth 5 sloyim, at that moment it becomes valuable like kesef, which is exactly what I'm telling you, says Rabbi Yosef. Is this a brilliant proof or is it not? It's perfect. So you see that kesef and shavah kesef are only equal after you have a professional assessment. Says the Gemara, well, there's a different way to understand this, right? I could tell you that maybe it is not worth 5 sloyim. And nonetheless, it would be okay in the sefer. How is that? Now, I know nobody's going to believe that this Gemara is going to prove whether you need to wear a yarmulke, right? I mean, that's ridiculous. Now I'm going to show you how Divrei Torah are aniyim b'makom echad v'ashirim b'makom echad. Do you or do you not need to wear a yarmulke? That is defined by the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbah as to whether Richie's Pizza need to be defined as a particular value before they can be used for Kiddushin. Ah, a challenge, right? So watch this. It's talking about Kigon de Kabel HaKohen Iluyah. So the Kohen accepted this, and he said, look, I'm going to consider this to be worth five shloim. How can he make it magically worth five shloim? Well, there was a story once where Rav Kahana accepted a sudra as a pidyon haben, and a sudra, of course, is basically a yarmulke. It's something you cover your head with, right? And it was not worth chamesh shloim. And he said, to me, it's worth chamesh shloim. He tells the father, l'didi chazilei chamesh shloim. So you see that the Kohen can say that to him it's worth it. It has nothing to do with a professional appraisal. Rav Ashi, now wait a minute. I mean, there's got to be some basis to this. So basically what we're talking about is a man like Rav Kahana. Because since he is so chashuv, he's got to be wearing something on his head because it wouldn't be correct for him to go about, says Rashi, Begilui Rosh. But for somebody who is just a plain Kohen, who's not Choshev, over there, he cannot accept a yarmulke as being worth five sela if it isn't worth five sela. So many of the Achronim bring a raya from here. You see that you do not have to wear a yarmulke. It's only Rav Kahana, who is very chashev. So it says, for him, he could say, for me, it's worth it. Of course, this became a big machlokes. The Sfarim will go around without a yarmulke. Ashkenazim will say, maybe this is only legabe a sudder. Everybody has to wear a yarmulke. So you could get away maybe with a little kippah seruga, if it's big enough, if you're not Rav Kahana. But if you're Rav Kahana, you need to wear a black hat. That's the equivalent of the sudra. So this becomes, of course, like everything. But it once was a nice riot. Okay. Ki'ad Marbar Ravashi, it once happened that Marbar, the Ravashi, lost his yarmulke. And Rabba Mikubi, his mother used to knit yarmulkes. And he was so desperate for a nice yarmulke, he paid 13 shekel for a 10 shekel yarmulke. Can you imagine? That's how valuable a yarmulke was to him, because he had to get that yarmulke. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Hitkachili b'mana. Now, we have another issue over here. At what point, remember that we introduced in the past few days the clear-cut distinction between the purchase in terms of the value that you're giving for your purchase, buying something, and being kind of something, the two completely different issues. So what it is that you're going to be giving, perhaps, to this lovely bride, maybe a guaranteed beautiful diamond ring. But what it is that you're going to be actually doing the Kiddushin with is maybe a Cracker Jack ring that's only worth a Shavar Pruta, because you're worried someone will maybe pilfer the ring from the room during the wedding. So you're giving her the Cracker Jack ring to make the Kinyan, but you're going to be giving her the beautiful diamond ring, and she knows that. But she understands that she'll accept the Cracker Jack as a ring for the purposes of Kinyan. Two completely different issues. Now, the question is, like, what defines the Kinyan aspect of what the money that you're giving, and what defines the buying aspect, the purchase price, so to speak, aspect of it, right? So says Rabbi Elazar, look, suppose a guy says to a woman, I'm going to be giving you a mana. Mana was a lot of money. And in the end, he hands her, as he says this, he says, I want you to be mekudeshet with me for a mana. And he hands her one dinner, which is 1% of a mana. She's mekudeshet. Weird. Well, he'll have to pay her the rest, the yashlim. So in the end, he'll give her the rest. But since it's very clear that by giving her only one dinner and she accepting that dinner, apparently she's a very sophisticated woman who understands that this is not what I'm giving you as my evaluation of what an incredible woman you are. You're worth a million, but we're doing the Kinyan now with one dinner. That's how she takes it. So it's basically like a condition. You know, take this as the kinyan on condition that I fulfill the condition later on of sending you the diamond ring. And so therefore, she's mekudesh. Why? My time, because kima de amar la mana. Look, he said, I'm giving you a mana, and then he's doing something that is completely inconsistent with what he said. He's handing her a dinner. So obviously, it's the equivalent of his explaining to her, be mekudesh to me with the kinyan of this dinner, and then on condition that I will be mashlim the rest of the dinner. And since Rav Huna Amarav says that kol omer amenat komer miachshav dami, so in the same way, if he had literally said on condition that, so what would have been the din? The din would have been, the kedushin would have been chal right away. Whenever the condition is fulfilled, it's fulfilled. But we don't need to wait for the fulfillment of the condition in order to be able to have the kinyan, right? Okay, so that's what's happening over here. The kedushin goes into effect now. And at some point later on, he will be giving her the rest of it. Asks the Gemara, how could Rebbe Elazar say this if we have a braita that says very clearly exactly the opposite? It says that if someone says to a woman, it's kashili bimona, and now he's counting out 1, 2, 3, 4. No, it's very impressive when he gets up to 100, you know. So, and then one of them changes their mind. It's very dangerous to do this slowly, you know. You want to get it over with. The slower you go, the more likely it is, oh, no, forget it. I ain't going through with this. Or she says, man, oh, man, this guy's trying to be too impressive. I don't want to go through with this, whatever. So either one of them who wants to change their mind before you get to 100 can change their mind. So how can Rebbe Elazar claim that the idea over here is that the kinyan is chal immediately? The kinyan is chal immediately. How can you change your mind? It was already mekudeshes. Does that make sense? Nah, this is talking about this Rebbe Elazar. Here he told her, see this $100? You be mekudesh to me with this $100. Okay, so then she has in mind this particular thing, and she sees that as the object, so to speak, of the kinyan. So over there, if she doesn't get it, then obviously there was no kedushin. Masha in Ken Rebbe Elazar's case, it's talking about that he said b'mana. He didn't say with this particular mana, so there was no object. That's the difference. So he said b'mana zeh. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Because the next case in this very same brisa actually is a case where it's a different case that he did say b'manazu. And since Amit is safe b'manazu, it's clear that the resha of the brisa was referring to just the word b'mekudesh with amona. Here's the safe. Read it yourself, man. The katani safe. Omar lait kachili b'manazu. And then it turns out that it was only 99 and not 100. Or maybe one of these dinners, they were actually made out of copper, weren't made out of silver. So, I mean, that wasn't what it was supposed to be. So then it's not mekudesh. If one of the dinarim is not a good dinner, it's a dinar ra, which the Gemara will define in a few minutes, harezu mekudesh, then it's a good kedushin, but he should switch it for a better quality dinner. Anyway, but so doesn't that mean that the first part of the braita was talking about manastam, and the second part of the braita was talking about a specific object? And in both cases, we say, if somebody wants to pull out before the very last dinner, they can pull out. So that means that Rebbe Elazar is going against the braita. Nah, says Rebbe Elazar, actually, that's not the way to understand the difference. Both the resha and the seifa were talking about manazu, and the Seifa is not a different case. The Seifa is explaining the Resha. Upirushe kama farish. So therefore, the first part of the Braisa says, if anybody wants to pull out, they can pull out even before the very last 100th dinner. But when is that? Here's how to read the Seifa. Ketzad. When can you pull out? Kagonda amala bimonezo. That's what it means. But ein achinami, if there was no object of amana, it was just with amana. So then we would understand it as a condition. And therefore, it's no contradiction to Reb Elazar at all. V'achinami mistavra. By the way, I mean, think about it. You think I'm pulling you around by the nose? This is the only way to understand the brayta, because if you understood it differently, the way you wanted to understand it, achinami mistavra, because if the reisha was talking about, the guy said a mana, not this mana. And the din would be that you could pull out until the very last dinner. So then why do you need to even say the last part? Obviously, if in a case where you didn't even say this specific mana, you could still pull out. Kol shekein, if you specified an object and she never gets that object, you could pull out. So what would be the whole point of saying the second case? Therefore, it's clear that I'm right, that the first case was also b'mana zu, not b'mana stam. And the brayta was referring to the explanation of the original, because Isaac relationship amanastam. So then, if you're telling me that even in amanastam it's not kedushin until you give the very last dinner, so if I've turned it into an object of amana, is there any question that of course you can pull out if you didn't give the whole thing? So b'mana zumi boy, must be that both the resha and the seifa are indeed talking about the case of amana. So you see, on the contrary, Rabbi Elazar is 100% correct. The brayta went out of its way to specify davke b'mana zu. Well, I mean, look, I can't say that you're necessarily wrong in the interpretation, but you can't prove to me that it works out according to Rabbi Elazar, because I can give you another reason for why the brayta would have said the case of b'mana zu after a case of b'mana stam, okay? I don't think that's 100% the proof. Because it could be, you're saying it says the Seifa to define the Reisha. But there's another reason why it might have said the Seifa. It might have said the Seifa to undefine the Reisha. In other words, it wrote the Seifa to be Megala the Reisha. Meaning, don't think that the Reisha is talking about b'mana zu and try to get away with making this work out according to Rabbi Elazar. Nonsense. It was actually talking about stam mana. If I want to talk about b'mana zu, I'll tell you another case, okay? Listen closely. B'mana zu. Haha. So now you know that the first case was b'mana stam. So maybe you would have tried to give me this garbage over here. Yes, Rabbi Elazar is wrong, is right. And the Reisha is talking about b'mana zu, but ein achinami b'mana stam. We would have actually said it was kedushin from the very start. That's why I go out of my way to give you another case, which is an unnecessary case, to tell you b'mana zu, so that you can understand by implication that the Reisha was indeed talking about b'mana stam. And even so, it's not kedushin, not like your favorite Rabbi Elazar's psak. Aha. So you cannot therefore prove that the brayta is coming like Rabbi Elazar, because it might just as well be not like Rabbi Elazar. So we still don't, I mean, we don't have a kasha, we could answer it, but don't try to tell me that the answer is 100% mine ube in the brayta. Ravashi says, well, I don't understand what the problem is in this brayta. There's no problem whatsoever. This brayta is not similar to the case of Rabbi Elazar. The case of Rabbi Elazar was, the guy said, be mekudesha to me with a diamond ring, and he hands her a cracker jack, right? Essentially. Be mikudesh to me with a mana, and he hands her a dinner. So over there, obviously, he's separating between the ultimate value of the buying and the specific technicality of the kinyan. But in the case of the brayta, the guy was counting it out. So he was counting it out. It wasn't like almanat. It was, this is meant to be the kinyan. So he's saying, here's one, here's two, here's three. So over there, she never agreed to be mekudeshet with a kinyan of a dinner. What's the connection between the two cases? Mone v'holech shayne. When you're counting out the money, it's different because she's waiting to get the whole thing. The daita kule. But in Rebbe Lazar's case, he wasn't counting out anything. He said something nonsensical. So she says to herself, oh, obviously, okay, so he wants to go through with the kinyan now. Great, okay, so we'll do the kinyan now. And then he'll give me the rest of the money later. Okay. By the way, getting back to that brayta, well, I don't get, what's the idea? One of them turns out to be a copper dinner. I mean, did she know that there was a copper dinner there in the first place? So then she accepted the copper dinner. So why does it say it's not a kosher kedushin? It's talking about that he gave it to her at night. And you can't see very clearly whether something is copper or silver in the dark. So he's counting it out to her. And she didn't see it. Or maybe he gave her like a bit of a pile, and here's five, whatever, right? And she didn't see that particular coin, so she didn't know. That's why it's not a good kedushin. Okay, but then what is the meaning in the Braita of a poor quality dinner? Like, I don't. What does poor quality mean? I mean, either it's a usable coin or not a usable coin. So what is a dinner ra? Hechidami, eat alone nothing. If you can't use it to buy things, it's not worth anything. It's the same as a copper coin, which is not worth a dinner. So then this is not worth a dinner. So then she never got her mana. So then why is Kedushin kosher if it's a poor quality dinner? It shouldn't be kosher either. Omer of Papa, what it means is, there's oftentimes situations like this. You got yourself a coin. Some people will accept the coin. Other people say, I don't want to take that. It's like when you have a torn dollar bill or something, right? No, I don't want to get a hassle. You take it. Find somebody to take it. But you can find somebody to take it. So it's talking about Kugon Dinofika Yideat Chag. So technically speaking, it's worth it. And you owe it to her to replace it with something that's easier for her. Omar Rav Amrav Nachman, suppose, this is a fascinating question. You say, Bimukudeshet for $1,000. I don't have any cash on me, but here's my watch. You give her your Rolex watch, right? So, okay. Or what you could do, you could give her Alon's Apple Watch. Well, that's even better than a Rolex, I think, right? He would never do that. Just for Kedushin? No, so it's an unusual case. All right, so you give her a Rolex watch. So that is... So that's a Mashka. So is that just as good as giving her the cash? Says Rav Nachman, no, it's useless. Ain't a Mekudeshes, because there ain't no mana. And there ain't no mashka, because the mashka is not hers to keep. The mashka is just hers until he gives the mana. But he hasn't given the mana. So they never made a kedushin with the mashka. So this is a useless transaction. Asks Rava to Rav Nachman, I have a braita that says beferish, not like you. This braita says, if you're mekadesh a woman with a mashka, it's a perfectly good kedushin. Now what are you going to do with that? Ha-ha. Oy, vavoy, says Rav Nachman. What do you? You don't even need to know how to understand a braita. The braita means that you had a mashkan from someone else for money that was owed you. You took that mashkan and you gave it to a woman. The mashkan was a Rolex watch. And you said, be mikudesha to me for this Rolex watch. That's what it means. So you might think that you don't have a kinyan in that Rolex watch. Kamashron, that you do. And Hasib Mashkan da Achirim, what it's talking about. And the Tana of that Braita is going out, Liba, the famous Psak of Rev Yitzchak, a beautiful Diak in the Pasuk that we've spoken about many times and that appears even in the official Gavi list. Minai in the Balchov Shekone Mashkan. How do we know that someone who is owed money is an actual owner and has a real kinyan on the mashkan that was given him for that item? Shenemar ulecha tiyeh tzedakah. Now remember what it's talking about over there. You went in and you took, this guy has not paid back his loan. So you go and you knock on his door and he's supposed to bring you out a mashkan. He doesn't have any cash. Okay, you're not allowed to go in. Remember, that's, you have to wait outside. He's going to bring you a mashkan. Okay, so he brings you a pair of pajamas, right? He says, okay, you keep these pajamas until I pay you back. Now, the amazing thing is that the Torah says, you have to bring him back his pajamas at night so that he can wear his pajamas. Because after all, b'mayishkaf, what's he supposed to be sleeping with? Without pajamas? So therefore, you bring him back his pajamas. And then the pasuk says a beautiful thing. This will be considered an act of tzedakah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that you brought him back his pajamas, and he will be mevarech you. So sweet. So every night you bring him back his pajamas, and then you take the pajamas back in the day, so we don't forget that he owes you that money. But says Rabbi Yitzchak, well, how can it be called tzedakah if it's his pajamas? So it must be, if we call it tzedakah, that they became your pajamas, and now you're giving him tzedakah by giving him pajamas to wear. So you see that you must have a kinyan in those pajamas. Now Tosfos asks, this is an amazingly relevant question. Rav Meisha even has a whole tshuva on this question. So Tosfos asks, well, why isn't it considered to be a charitable act? In that you were keeping these pajamas to be able to collect money, and now, like, you're going to have to give it back to him. I mean, that's a charitable act. Even if they're not technically your pajamas, wouldn't that be good enough? Says Tosfos, no. Because then when the Pasuk says, and he will bless you, it would be usher. Because then that blessing would be ribis. And that's called ribis devarim. So how would the Torah say he should bless you? Must be, therefore, that it's an actual act of charity. A really adorable pshat. Now, okay, but Tosfos, but there are others who learn that the word tzedakah means specifically charity that you do with your own money, not that you just did a charitable act. Okay, now the shaila with Rabesha's tshuva was fascinating. A guy wanted to print a sefer that he had written, and someone lent him money to allow him to print the sefer. So he wanted to put a little acknowledgement on the sefer that this sefer was printed thanks to the generosity of Mr. So-and-so, who lent money for its publication. So the question is, was that considered to be ribis dvorim or not? Right? So Reb Moshe got into a whole shaila of whether speaking out the reality of who people owe HaKaras Teva to, but that's not called Ribis Dvorim. It's the fact that you not just acknowledged, but that you're Mevorechim. To be Mevorechim is to give something. Remember, that's the nature of Bracha, is that you're actually the Yishmael B'ni Borcheni. So if there's a real giving through a Bracha, then that would be Ribis Dvorim. Anyway, beautiful. But in any event, if you weren't Kenaet, says Rabbi Yitzchak, how do you call it tzedakah? Tzedakah minai, mikan lebaal chov, shekone mashkon. So this proves that you are actually the owner of those pajamas. So now if you took those pajamas and you gave it to a woman and said, be mekudeshet with these beautiful pajamas, they must have been pretty fancy pajamas, let me tell you, I mean, very, very stimulating kind of kiddushin. But so that would be a kosher kiddushin. But that's not the same as saying, be mekudeshet for a buck, and here's my pajamas to keep for the buck, because then you're not giving the pajamas as the kiddushin, and you never gave the buck as kiddushin, and therefore, says Reb Nachman, you've got nothing. And we had the same situation come back by B'nai Ravuna Bar Avin, and they made a deal that they were going to buy a particular oma that was a Kananis, a Shifra Kananis. So they were going to buy her for a certain number of prutas. But they didn't have the cash with them. Lo'avi ba'adayu. So what did they do? They gave a nascha. Nascha is a, what do you call the, bars. A silver bar, right? Like a raw silver bar, like gold bar. They gave a silver bar. But an ingot, thank you. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Whew, thank you. So you gave an ingot of silver, and that's a mashkan, and until we bring the prutas. In the end, before they got the prutas there, the market price went up, and now the seller said, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to sell her anymore for the low price I gave you. And they said, yeah, but we were already koner because we gave you that silver as a mashkan. So they went to Reb Ami to see whether they could pull out. And Reb Ami said, they can definitely pull out because you never brought the cash. Prite Anken, Enkan, and Naske Enkan, the same exact words that Reb Nachman used to say that the Kedushin would not be kosher. Tana Rabbana, suppose someone gives a mana to a woman, says it's kachili b'mana, she takes the $100, and she throws it into the ocean, or she throws it into the barbecue, or whatever. She flushes it down the toilet. That's pretty good indication that she's not too interested in a kiddush. Okay, but she wants to make it very graphic, you know? So the dinner, she's not mekudesha. But wait a minute, what do you mean? She flushes it down the toilet, then it's not mekudesha. And if she takes it and throws it down on the ground, then she is mekudesha? It's only because she threw it down the toilet? Does that make sense? Hashaditinu kamei, it would be kedushin. I mean, she's basically making it very clear, drop dead. Karmela shkil, I don't want it, lobeina. So why did you mention the case dafka where she flushed it down the toilet? No. This is an amazing gemara. You want to talk about the way women have things worked out? Listen to this one. So actually, since she flushed it down the toilet, she knows that she's going to have to pay the guy back, right? Because she ruined his $100. Okay. So I would have thought, look, she's not ready just to make a statement, to pay $100, to make a statement of drop dead. So she actually was mekabel de kedushin. So then why did she flush it down the toilet? Ah, she flushed it down the toilet. Remember, in those days, you didn't necessarily go out before the marriage. So she says to herself, all right, let's find out what kind of no good nick this guy is. If he gets angry easily, I know what I got into at least. A little bit too late, don't you think? So she says, I'm going to give him the Kool-Aid acid test. Yes, it's a good condition. And she flushes it down the toilet. So this is, I'll love you forever, but, you know, even though you flushed down the toilet. So I want to see. So the point is, lo mi boy, Tana is coming to tell me even a bigger kiddush, that of course, if she just throws it down in front of him, which doesn't cost her any money. So over there, I know that she's saying drop dead. But I would have thought that if she flushed it down the toilet, so raktala yama la'or, since she's going to have to pay him back the money. So for sure, she meant to be Mekudesha. So why did she do that? She said, okay, let's give him the first Kool-Aid acid test. Savra, I might as well find out what the guy's like since I married him, right? So Ivdike, I'll give him a test, Lai Gavra. Does he get angry easily or not? So she flushes it down the toilet just to see if he gets mad. Kamash Malan, no. She does not want to get married to this guy, and she's ready to pay for the statement. Or she is so angry at his chutzpah for thinking that she would ever dream of marrying a jerk like him that she's ready to flush it down the toilet without thinking about it further. Tana Rabbana, another case where a guy says, okay, here's a mana, he's kachili b'mana, and she says, well, why don't you give it to my father? Why don't you give it to your father? That's not called kedushin. I mean, remember, we did have the din before, as Rashi points out, of the din of Arev, that if you give money to somebody else, it would be mekudeshet. But that is where she came up with the idea. You give money to so-and-so, and I'll be mekudeshet to you. That'd be din Arev, right? But over here, where it's her response to his giving her something, she said, why don't you give it to your father, you know? Then obviously she's being sarcastic. So then ain't a mekudeshes. But if she says, well, if your father or my father will accept this on my behalf, then she is mekudeshes. Because then she really does mean that I want to see if they'll take care of it. Maybe they'll take care of it for me. It may be that she's interested in knowing whether they approve of her and so on and so forth. Why do we mention my father or your father? So Tana Abba Lodiacha Kocho Duresha. We want to talk about the case of my father, that even though he tells her, go give the money to my father, that doesn't mean I'm willing to get to be Mekudeshet if you give it to my father. And in the Seifa, it's coming to tell me the Kiddush, of give it to your father, that even though she said your father, that still means if your father will accept it for me, I am Mekudeshet. Anyway. Let's get back to the Braita. Now, Hitkachi li b'mana, how about a case where the guy says, be my wife for this $100, and she says, give them to so-and-so. So then she's not mekudeshet. But if she says, on condition that so-and-so will accept them on my behalf, shekablim li, then she is Mekudeshes. So, I mean, like, why do I need, it's the same thing you said before. Why do I need two different dinim that's exactly the same? No, it's not the same, because Shricha. If I would have had the first price of my father or your father, I might have thought, okay, over there in the Sefer, when she says, if they are willing to keep it for me, then it's kosher. That's because she really does have a relationship with them, and she means that seriously. But if she says, well, if so-and-so, I mean, why would she rely on so-and-so to keep her $100 or her diamond ring? So there, she relies on, in the first case, Avdan Lishli Chutai. But to say, give it to so-and-so, she didn't really mean that. Kamashman, even when it's just somebody random, it's still a good kedusha. So then why not just tell us the case of somebody random? Because he asked me in a ploni, if you would tell me the case now about a random guy, I would say in that case where she said, oh, why don't you give them to Joe? That's why it's not kedusha. But if she said, give them to my dad, I mean, why not? Maybe she really wants her father to have this money. And that's what she meant. I accept your kedusha, and I would like my father to have it as a gift. So in that case, I mean, if it's somebody random, why would she want to give him a gift? There's no reason for us to think she wants it really to be given to him. Over there, she knows them. Maybe she really does want to give it as a gift. In both cases. Now, how about another case? Tana Rabbana. The guy says, give me, be Mekudesh to me with the money. She says, put it on top of that stone over there. Tana Mal Gabi Sela. Ain't a Mekudesh. She is obviously telling him, I don't want it. But what if it was her own stone? Imaya Sela Shala. Then she is Mekudesh because she just wants it. She doesn't want to keep it on her dress. She wants it to be in her Rishus. Boy of Bibi, but what if it belongs to both of them? Sela shoshnehem mahu. Now the issue over here, there's a big problem over here, because if she really meant to be kina it with the sela, then if it belongs to the other guy also, so then you can't be kina by a sela or a rishus that belongs to shnehem, because it was never yotzei from the shus of that person. So basically, other Rishonim explained that this has nothing to do with Kinyan. We're not comparing this to the idea of a get, where you're saying, you know, this should be the Mesira of the get, and the rock should be as if you gave it into my hand. There's no din of the Kedushin having to be in her hand. Now, that is actually Machlokas, because the question is V'yotza V'hayta, Makish Yitzia V'navaya? Does it mean that in the same way that by a get there's a din of a Natan La, I have to give it actually into her hand or into her actual rishus, that would apply to Kedushin? Or is it irrelevant to Kedushin, but by Kedushin, all we want is for her to be semech her das, to be willing to make the kinyan? This is an interesting machlokas we're showing you. So this is nogea how we understand the sela shel shneihem and why it's teku, because l'chora, if it was just a question of kinyanim, that's not the point. Okay, how about if a guy goes over and he says, hey, be Mekudeshet to me for this piece of bread. And she says, give it to the dog. Well, that's a pretty big rejection. Ain't a Mekudeshet. But how about it's my favorite doggy? Give it to my doggy. Oh, give it to my doggy. Then that shows she really loves him if she's willing to use it for her doggy. But anyway, this is something that this would be Hana'ah. So it's her own Caleb. She's Mekudeshes. Now, the question is, she is being chased by an absolutely frightening dog. Roof, roof, roof. Here, would you be my wife? Wife, give it to the dog. So what does that mean? Does that mean that all she's interested in is getting the dog off of her? Or is that an actual benefit that she is saying, yes, yes, save my life, give it to the dog? Mahu. So be'ahu hana'ah dekamatzla nafsha minei gomro mekanya le'nafsha. For the fact that he just saved her life as far as she's concerned, she owes him everything. So she's ready to be his wife. Oh, Dilma matzi omra lork, she could say to him, now wait a minute. Midiraisa, you're mechuyev to save me because of Hatzalas Nefashis, right? So, therefore, I was just telling you, do your duty. But doesn't mean that I was ready to become your wife because you're ready to do your duty. Now, it's interesting because doing his duty does not mean she doesn't have to pay him back for the kikar. So, I mean, it would still be valuable. Take. It's not clear what she means. How about if he says, take this piece of bread, and she says, give it to that poor man over there. So, Danina Makudasha, she's saying, this is what you're being Makadash. You can give this for tzedakah to the Mashiach. She's not Makudasha, even though this is an ani that generally she provides for. And she would actually have brought him that piece of bread, my taima, because she could say, look, you have just as much a chiev to take care of that poor man as I do. And if you have a kikar, why the heck don't you give it to the poor? That may be what she means. So the same way I'm chayev, ki hecha de mechayavna be'ana, achiv mechayev be'at. We are both the same, and therefore she's trying to give him a message. What kind of business is this? Ignoring the ani, giving me a kikar. Why don't you do the tzedakah that the Torah demands of you the way I do? That's the point. Okay, fascinating. Now, tomorrow we're going to get into, if we're zocha to be together tomorrow, which would be wonderful, then we'll get into additional interesting questions of what the meaning is when someone accepts something, whether it's really or it's sarcastically, as a kedushin, and what these kinds of indications are. Let's say somebody accepts a Ritchie pizza, and he says, give the pizza to that drug addict over there. What would that mean? That's to be seen tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you so much. Very much hope to meet with you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning.